Well, welcome back. Welcome anew to the Further Faster podcast. I'm Joseph McClendon III, and I'll be your host here today, along with my amazing guest. And we're always here to do exactly what the name implies, and that is to assist you in doing what it says, and that is to go further, faster, and becoming more wealthy. And around here, wealthy means to be healthy, happy, and financially abundant. And my guest today, I'm so excited to share him with you. He is a legend in his own right. And to add to that, he is a legend of a legend. And that, again, ladies and gentlemen, that's called a cliffhanger. I'll be back. I'm going to tell you his name. His name is Brian Proctor. And Brian is going to share some of the things that he has gleaned through the years to help him help other people go further faster. So grab a pad and paper and let's get into it. We'll be right back with Brian Proctor. Well, welcome back. Welcome back. And again, I'm Joseph McClendon III. And normally I would just run on and on at the mouth and share with you my impression and my opinion and my introduction of my guest. But I really want to read you this intro of this amazing, amazing man so that you can get not just a grasp, but a really, really good understanding of who this man is. His name is Brian Proctor. And he is a lifelong study of how to operate, how we operate as human beings. He's a facilitator of personal development and the tools and the strategies. And he is the son of the legend Bob Proctor, and one of the most well-known leaders in personal development there is since the dawn of time, as far as I'm concerning. Now, he worked side by side with his father for 30 years as a father and son business partners and best friends. And Brian attributes his success to all the lessons that he's learned over the years from his father. And his most recent book is a tribute to these lessons. His new book is My Father Knew the Secret. And he shows us how to improve our lives immediately with simple steps that clear away mental blocks and move you beyond past and present circumstances so that you can go beyond simply wishing and become someone who is ready to accept abundance as your birthright while leaving an impression of increase in the world. Now, Brian, along with his wife, share a mission to empower people to live their best life by leading and leaning into the simple yet profound strategy. So I'd love to introduce you to, welcome to the show, Brian Proctor.
Well, thank you very much, Joseph. It is great to be here with you.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. And Brian, you graced us about a month, maybe a month and a half ago with the Further Faster Challenge. And, normally something like this, I say normally, like it happens all the time, but I would talk about your father, but I want to talk about you first. Sure. And then talk to you about, you can share everybody about your engagement with your father. Share with us first off, where are you? What part of the world are you in right now?
I am in Olympia, Washington on the Pacific Northwest.
You're in cold country, as far as I'm concerned. I'm in California.
It's a little cooler, but I tell you what, it's a beautiful, beautiful part of the country. We're right on Puget Sound, so we get the joy of the ocean here. And right now, yes, a lot of rain.
Well, fantastic. And as I said before, you graced us with sharing some of your knowledge and your wisdom to our team about a month ago. And some of the things that you shared with us are groundbreaking stuff. So I want to start to ask, I'm trying my best not to go to your famous father first. However, that might be the best place for you to start. Tell us, a little bit about your upbringing, where you came from, why you do what you do, and what makes you that kind of person that does that gives to other people and make sure other people get the most out of their lives.
Well, Joseph, I mean, I grew up in this industry, in the personal development industry. My father was given the book Think and Grow Rich in October of 1961. Yeah. And anybody that knows my father knows he's always holding that book up in the air. And he read it for every day for over 60 years. Well, so he received that in October of 1961. I was born in December of 1961. So I literally was there for the entire journey, which was really a special thing. You know, I often say I feel like I live a charmed life because of the way I grew up with Bob Proctor as a father. And when I was younger, I got into real estate and I did outside things outside of my father's business because I felt I had to prove myself out in the world doing my own thing first. And I was very, very successful in real estate. And my father kept trying to get me to come into the business, come back into the business. He wanted me to help in the marketing of it. And eventually I did. And I'm really grateful that I did. I worked with him then for, around 30 years. And I was really behind the scenes. I took care of a lot of the marketing. I started email list building when it was not a thing. Before that was ever out in the world, and really helped set us up for success when, you know, those big opportunities came about. And one of them was that movie, The Secret. When that movie came out, that really, it propelled my father to another stage. You know, he had been working hard in the industry forever. And what a lot of people don't realize is that that movie came out, he was 72 years old. And it was at that time when he got on Larry King Live, Ellen DeGeneres, all these shows that really propelled him out into the world. So, you know, I had the joy of working with him. And it is just, it's something I will cherish for the rest of my life.
And what's so great about it is you brought those gifts to so many other people as well. You just struck a nerve with me, a good nerve, by the way, because I have a son. He's 17. Well, he'll be 17 in another month, and he's going on 38 years old. So you know what that's like. I've always felt like I want him to find his own path. He loves what I do, and he says he wants to follow in my footsteps. However, his behavior as a teenager is not showing that yet. And what you just said really, because I've been on this path for a little while, and that is recognizing that he has to prove himself to himself. And what you just said about, you know, you taking that path, proving yourself, really hit home with me because, you know, he tells me what he wants to do. And then I see him doing other things that are not moving in that direction. And I try to move in that direction. And I really just came to the conclusion just a couple of weeks ago that I got to let him alone. I've got to let him alone and do his own path. So share with us a little bit about your real estate journey and what brought you, because you were no slouch in that area as well. Share with you what brought you forward and made you start to do it. Well, first off, what made you as successful as you were in that industry? And then when you brought that forward, how that played out?
Well, it's interesting. You know, like you say, I needed to find my own way in the world and my own way of being a success. Growing up, let's face it, I was the son of Bob Proctor. That was just a thing. Right. And to me, you know, he was just dad. But everybody looked at me like, what are you going to do? I didn't want to get in the business with him right away. I felt that I needed to prove myself, not only to the world, but I think more than anybody to myself, that I could take the material he taught, use it somewhere else and be a success. And I did. And gosh, I'll share a story with you. This is something we talked about on that last session. And I think there's so much value in it. When I got into real estate, I was 26 years old. So I was pretty young. And a lot of people didn't take me too seriously because I was pretty young. I got in, and my first year in the business, I made it into the top 100 of a very large real estate company internationally. And I did that because I applied things that I learned from my father. Awesome. And I'll give you the real simple lesson. And this is something that I wrote in the book because there's so much value, and it's something I have practiced since the age of 9 years old. I was actually at a seminar in Palm Desert, California. This was in, I believe, 1988. And Mike Ferry, who you may know of, he was running a lot of real estate seminars at the time, training seminars for real estate agents. And he had this event. There was about 2,000 people in the room. And I was sitting right at the front of the room. I was just trying to glean information from wherever I could that would help me be better in the business. And I guess Mike had heard that what I was doing and how successful I was right out of the gate, really as a rookie. And he asked me up onto the stage. And it kind of surprised me. And I'm standing there and he said to me, he said, Brian, what are you doing that's making you such a success right out of the gate? And it took me back to when I was 9 years old. And this is the story I'd like to share that I really think can help everybody that's listening or watching this. We had just moved to Chicago and I was starting a new school there. Well, you have to know, I was born in Toronto. So I started school in Toronto. We then moved to London, England. I started a new school there. We moved back to a different part of Toronto. So I started another school there. And by grade four, we moved to Chicago. This is my fourth school. I am that perpetual new kid in school and I didn't like it. That's the simple truth. I hated being that new kid in school. And I can remember sitting with my father in the den. And I said to him, I said, Dad, I just hate being this new kid in school. I'm not quite sure what to do. And he put me at ease so quickly. He said to me, he said, Brian, all you need to do is put these four letters across the forehead of everybody you speak to. And these four letters are MMFI, make me feel important. He said, if you can make everybody you talk to feel important, feel seen, feel heard, you're going to make friends really quickly and you're going to get along great in the world. And he'd like to call this the impression of increase. And that is, can you leave everybody you come in contact with in that day feeling better because they came in contact with you? Boy, if you can do that, you're going to get on great. Well, that was the lesson he taught me. And Joseph, I used it all my life. And in real estate, that got me so far ahead of the game because everybody sure. I was dealing with, they liked dealing with me. I made them feel seen. I made them feel special. And so I was getting referrals like crazy and my business was just exploding. And it's simply that, the impression of increase. Everybody I come in contact with, I do whatever I can to make them feel better that they were in contact with me. And that's it. And it's easy to do. I mean, we can pay a sincere compliment to somebody. We just need to be interested in them and present, not looking at our phone when somebody's trying to talk to us or looking around the room for a better opportunity. If you're engaged with a person and speaking with them, listening to them, not thinking about what you're going to say next, really engaged, people will want to be in your presence. And, you know, so often we hear somebody tell a great story of something they've done and we think, oh, I've done that too, but I did it even better. They want to tell you their story. The best thing you can do is to not do that. Let the person that just told you the story relish in the prize of whatever their story was. Because when we try to trump them and say, oh, I did that too, we actually diminish their story. Mm-hmm. And that was the big thing I learned. And that's what really, if I'm to bring it down to its simplest form, that's what caused me to be a really big success in life because of the relationships I was able to build by the way I treated other people.
That is so beautiful. And, you know, in your intro, I said that you have strategies to help people go further, faster. And that is one of them. One of the things at the Neuroencoding Institute we always talk about is we like to assassinate complexity. You know, instead of making things so complicated that people go, okay, yeah, I want to do that. That sounds great, but they're not going to do it. But something as simple as what you just said right there, that is a strategy of not just the philosophy of making somebody feel special and making somebody feel heard and those things, but the process of being able to do that. I came across it a different kind of way. Now, by the way, we share a couple of things. I was bounced around from school to school. My father was military. So in the 60s, we went from New York to Grand Forks, North Dakota, to Hawaii, then to back to California. And I was the same kind of thing. I was a perpetual new kid. Yeah. And I didn't get that. Matter of fact, I felt very, very insecure most of my life, except for both my parents were great. And my mother forced us, and I say forced us, and I did not like it at all, to go out and go door to door collecting money for the St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Now, my mom was that kind of person that we would do basket brigades, and my mom would do things like, how she figured out how to do this, I don't know, but she would go down into the poor section of town and convince parents to lend us their kids for a summer. I have three sisters, and she would go get three little girls my sister's age and one little boy that was a little younger than me. And our responsibility was to take care of those kids through the summer. Now, this happened when I was, the first time was 12, all the way through till I was 16 years old. And I hated it because summertime was, you know, it was time to go out and play and to do things like that. But what I learned very, very shortly, because these kids didn't have it. We didn't have much, but these kids didn't have anything. And they would look at us and they would go. And I remember these little kids going, "This is all your stuff." And I wasn't, you know, in the very beginning, I didn't like it. But then I started to realize, well, wait a minute, I can help this person. And part of it was helping them feel better. Years later, from what you were saying, I learned that lesson about making people special was when I moved to Los Angeles from a small town. And Brian, people would not, it was Hollywood. I moved to Hollywood because I wanted to be a musician. And in my small town, people would look at us, at each other, and they go, "Hey, good morning, how are you doing?" You know, at least a head nod. But in Los Angeles, they wouldn't do that. And I remember thinking, well, these people are terrible. You know, no wonder they call it Hollywood and Plastic City. They're pretentious and all those things. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. What if it's not them? What if it's me? And I thought, well, of course it's them. You know, I'm nice. You know, my mom taught us to be nice. But I started doing something kind of akin to what your father said. And I started to just, I call it my 50-foot rule. And the 50-foot rule is anybody that comes within 50 feet of me, I don't put those letters on their head. I'm going to start doing that. But I do say to myself, directed towards them, "I love you." And it would cause me to have to seek something out in them that I love, whether it was the way they dressed or that they're another human being sharing this. And it didn't take long before and this is before cell phones, by the way, it didn't take long before they would look up and they started to do that as well. So it's what we do. I think we're saying the same thing. It's what we do and that energy and that love that we give to people that makes the difference.
Yeah, I love that. And it's like you say, the world reflects back to us what we are. It really does. Mm-hmm. And what are you looking for? And that's a great example.
I love that as well. Share with us maybe some, because I love this. You know, I got your father's books and I was, you know, you said, you know, he read the book Think and Grow Rich. And I may have heard that from him. Mm-hmm. I didn't read it every day, but I read it, you know, once or twice a year from the time I was 19. And that was my first book, by the way. Wow. In 1972. I got the book and read it, and I'll kind of give away a little bit of the secret to that book was do what the book says, because I know a lot of people who have the book and didn't do the exercise. I did the exercises. So share with us maybe some other things that your father shared with you, taught you about life and about how to treat people and how to be successful.
Well, you know, I guess I can go back to even one of my earliest memories. I remember the first thing I can remember as a child was Dad tucking me into bed, and I realized how fortunate I was. But I go back to that memory and I think of how special it was and what he did for my self-image. You know, when he would tuck me into bed, he would sit on the side of the bed. He'd put his hand on my chest. He wanted that physical connection, and he would start to talk about my day and all the great things I did that day. And then if something bad happened, he would have me look for the good in it, which is really something special, something important to teach a child for sure. But then he would end it with this. He would say, "Brian, you are capable of being, doing, or having anything you want in this world. So you're going to have a great sleep. And when you wake up in the morning, you're going to have a big smile on your face. And you're going to have a wonderful day." And that's kind of who Bob Proctor was. That's who he was as a father. And that is something that he did for me whenever he was home. And I consider myself really fortunate because he set me up to succeed. And I got to do that then with my children. I did the same thing. And now I have grandchildren and I see my daughter doing it with my grandchildren. And it is just, it's a spectacular way to be. It is a great way to raise kids. And it is a great way to raise self-confident kids that will know that they're capable of anything. That's one little nugget I can give you here before the
Brian, I'm gonna tell you right now that little nugget has changed my life and has changed my son's life and hopefully so many other people's lives, because you shared a little bit of that with when you spoke to the Further Faster challenge. And since you shared that, I've been doing that with my son. And I got to be honest with you, the first couple of times it was uncomfortable for both of us because he's 17, you know, and I have always gone in, and my father would always come in, and I remember it used to upset us, my sisters and I, that he would come in late at night because he would work late at night, and he'd always turn the light on. We'd be fast asleep, and he'd come and turn the light on, and he'd just stare at us, and you know, we're just kind of grumpy in our beds, and we didn't. But at the time, I didn't know that, and later on in life, I asked him, "Why did you do that?" And he goes, "Because I wasn't around you guys all day long, and I just wanted to see you and just send you some love." Mm-hmm. And so, but since you said that, I've been doing that with my son, and I'm going to tell anybody that's listening, if you have children, you know, no matter what their age, my first time doing it, my son looked at me like I touched him with hot lava. Like, what are you doing? You know? And I said to him what you said, and I kind of made up my things. And now I don't touch him on his chest. I'll touch him on his leg and heel, and I'll say those things to him. And he's just, and this has been maybe a month and a half since you shared that, and now it has become a comfortable thing, and I can see it and feel it in his eyes. And he has, you know, again, he's a teenager and he's going through that stage, but I can see that in him, that he is starting to move as a human being differently as a result of that. So again, ladies and gentlemen, these are not just stories. These are strategies. These are processes that you can use. Brian, we're going to take a short break here. And when we come back, I'd like to learn more about your new book, My Father Knew the Secret. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back in just a couple minutes with Brian Proctor. Hey, what's good? It's me, Joseph McClendon III. And let me get real with you just for a second. Now, you've probably heard me talk about this before, something that I call the thieves of our dreams. Procrastination, hesitation, fear of failure, fear of success, self-doubt, self-loathing, imposter syndrome, and fear of rejection. Well, let me ask you a question. What if you could not only retrain your brain and your nervous system to automatically default to your absolute best thoughts, emotions, and behaviors, but you could also do the same for others that are going through difficult times and challenges in their own lives and things that are stopping them from creating the life of their desires? Well, this is what I call neuroencoding. And at the risk of sounding arrogant, these are the same tools, methods, and strategies in neuroscience that I've used to operate in the upper 5% of all of my own businesses, especially as a coach, a speaker, and a presenter for the last 30 plus years. The Neuroencoding Institute provides you with the knowledge, the tools, and unmatched support to become a certified neuroencoding specialist and guide you to the life of wealthiness. And remember, wealthy means to be healthy, happy, and financially abundant. Go to neuroencoding.com to speak to an enrollment specialist today, and I look forward to serving you at the highest level.
You're enjoying this episode on Angel Phoenix Productions Podcast Network. To explore a complete lineup of quality programs and media production services, head on over to angelphoenix.com or like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Angel Phoenix Productions.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. We're having such a great time with my guest, Brian Proctor, the son of the amazing legend, Bob Proctor. And we were just talking about some of the strategies and processes that you can do, that we can all do. And that's what we're all about, is don't just listen to this and go, that was a great podcast. Take this stuff and use it. That's what makes us go further faster. I consistently ask this question, and I ask it of you, the listener, viewer, again. Do you want what you want sooner rather than later? The answer is always a resounding yes. It does not mean that you have to rush through things and that you don't get to be patient through things and savor the moment and things like that. It's just that instead of the time that gets wasted, if you will, and a lot of that from distractions, you get to get what you want sooner than rather than later. And that further faster is to be wealthy. And wealthy means to be healthy, happy, and financially abundant. So when we left, Brian, you were sharing this with us some things. And I'd like you to share with us, if you would, maybe a bit about your book, mm-hmm. My Father Knew the Secret. Share with us a little bit about that, maybe some tidbits of that that can help us go further faster as well.
Well, you know what, Joseph, I started writing this book about 4 years ago. And when I started to write it, my father was alive. And I'll be quite frank. I expected he would still be here when I released it. Anyways, that didn't happen. He knew I was writing the book, and we were having a lot of fun around it. I just thought it would be. My wife and I were talking, and I said to her, and I can remember this conversation a few years ago. I remember where I was standing, and I said to her, I said, I feel like I need to write a book. And I said, I've got so much stuff in me, but I'm not quite sure how to approach it. And she looked at me like I had two heads, and she said, every seminar, what's the one question you get asked? I was working with my father for years. We'd have seminars with thousands of people in the room. The number one question I can tell you that I always got was, what's it like being Bob Proctor's son? And so I thought, well, what? I could write a book around that. I'll write a book about all the things that he taught me as his son. And Corey, she said to me, she said, Brian, you're the only one that can tell the story. You're his son. Absolutely. You were there for the entire ride. So I started to write the book, and Dad and I had some fun around it. We often would be on the phone with each other at 5 a.m. We're early morning people. And I would tell him what I was writing, and he would give me some more stories and some different things that we had done at the time or to share that really helped along the way. And I was probably halfway through the book when he passed away. And so I finished the book after he was gone. And, you know, it was tough. It took me probably 3 months before I could even pick the pen back up to start writing. But I did. And this, I'm so proud of the book. It's not about me. It is really about who my father was, what he taught me, and really why I live such a charmed life. I often say Dad never gave me anything, but he gave me everything, and he taught me a better way to live. And that's really what I share in the book. And the book is just full of stories and anecdotes of what he taught me. And then what I like to do is, this was my wife's idea. I thought it was such a brilliant idea. I have consider points at the end of each chapter. And those consider points are for you to take a look at and think, how can I apply this lesson or this story into my life right now so that I can live a better life? And that's really how I went about it. So it was a fun process. I really enjoyed it. And I got to share really, obviously a close to my heart kind of message, but who my father was from a point of view that nobody really knew. So it was pretty special.
Well, I thank you for that. And I thank you on behalf of everybody, because you're sharing a deeper side of the man who shared his whole life. You know, his whole life was about serving others and helping people. I always say go further, faster, and change their lives. And now we have a different perspective. And those consider points that you talked about, you know, I've always, there's a saying, I think I shared this with you before. It's not my saying. I love to quote other people. And the saying was from Joe Frazier, the heavyweight boxer champion back in the 60s, I think it was. And he said that between the promise and the payoff is always process.
Right.
And whatever that promise is, you know, whatever we make that promise to ourselves, or somebody else makes that promise to us that we can have this, whether it's the money, the health, the happiness we can have, whatever it is, it's not going to just show up. You know, and I appreciate what you said, saying you lived a blessed life. But in between that blessed life, I know you did your part as well.
Yes.
And that place in between there is process. And the process is not always, in my opinion, not always the school of hard knocks, because we have beautiful people like yourself who are going to give us those nuggets and, for lack of a better term, shortcuts, or what do the kids say, hacks, you know, that are going to help you get to that place easier, quicker, and faster, and along the way. And I like what you say with regard to increase others' lives, and not just leave this place a better place, but increase it with every moment that you're there as well. So again, thank you so much for, you know, sharing that part of you know, your life and your father's life, and sharing those things with us. And what's next for you? What are you doing now? Because I know you're out there.
Go ahead. Yeah. For me, it's just my mission is to get this book out in the world in a really big way. You know, one of the things I talk about in the book, I say it in the beginning and I say it at the end. And that is, what would happen to your life if you were the best version of you every single day. And that's how I've been living my life right now. I have been taking this and I am being the best version of me every day. I'm doing whatever I can to get this book out in the world. And that is my mission at the moment. I know the value that is in here. I put everything into a simple book that my father taught his entire life. So I know there's value. You know, one of the things Dad always said, Joseph, he said, a pro is at their best regardless. And we need to learn how to live our best version of ourselves, no matter what our outside circumstances are doing. And that, it takes strength for sure, but it takes awareness. And when we're aware that we can be better than what's going on around us, we'll start to live a better life. And that's how my father lived. You know, I witnessed in the first chapter of the book, I share a story, and this is a real quick story I'll share with you, but this is such a great example. He was in the intensive care unit. He was literally 2 to 3 days away from dying. He was in a lot of pain, had some infections in his body, was not doing well. And I was able to sit with him in that room for hours upon hours. And we just held hands and we talked when he was awake, but we were just with each other. And he had all these tubes coming out of him. A nurse came in the room and she had to put another IV in him. And I can remember hearing other people in the hospital, other patients yelling at the nurses and the doctors because, you know, they're uncomfortable. Dad never did that. He never did that. And this lady's poking and poking and poking. And I'm here to tell you, my father's not big on that stuff. But he just sat there calmly. And finally, you know, she started to apologize. Well, he put his hand on top of her hand. And he says, dear, you're doing a tremendous job. Don't worry. You'll get it. You just relax. You do whatever you need to do. It's all fine. The look in that nurse in that instant, you could see all of her anxiety just disappear. And she found the vein like right away. But more importantly, what I witnessed was that here was Dad. His outside circumstances were terrible. Things were not good. He could have lashed out at that lady, but he didn't. He showed her kindness. And in turn, you know, she released it right back on him and things worked out really quick and easy. And it just takes me back to a pro is at their best regardless. Doesn't matter what's going on in our life. There is no reason for us to treat anybody poorly. And if we're the best version of us every single day, gosh, what's going to happen in your life? Now, I'm not going to promise you that your life's going to change in a week or a month, but if you are the best version of you every single day and you just keep focused on that, I do promise you this, 6 months from now, you're going to look back and you're going to think, wow, what happened? And you will be living a better life. A year from now, it'll be that much better. You know, you're Further Faster podcast. I love the name of that because that's what it's all about. You'll get further faster if you're the best version of you every day and you treat those around you in the best way possible.
Brian, that is such an amazing, amazing story, an amazing, amazing saying there about being the best version of yourself and how you can do that. And those questions make us do things. And I would like to add to that, if I may, and that is that what you said is true. You can't guarantee that your life is going to change right away. And I think you can. I think that it might not be noticeable and it might be just fractional, but it is going to change right away as soon as you start to answer and ask those types of questions. And then you take it out. And I'm a big proponent of helping people recognize that at least I did something different. At least I, you know, picked my head up from the phone and acknowledged myself or acknowledged another human being. At least I did that. You know, at least I took the garbage out today and build on that type of success. So listen, I could go on with you and I want to ask you two last questions. Number one is, can we do this again? Because I could talk to you for, I mean, this went by so fast. And
so I am totally yes open to do this again. Yes, that's a big yes.
I appreciate you so much for that. And the second question is, in assisting you and getting the book out, how do people find you? How do people follow you in this day and age where obviously, you know, there are different things that we can do? And how can they get a hold of your book?
Well, you can get the book just by going to brianproctor.com. There'll be links there that you can get the book in whatever country you're in. There's some bonuses there as well. If you purchase the book, I have a downloadable workbook that you can use to follow along with the book to help you implement the lessons better. So that's where I would suggest. Just go to brianproctor.com and you'll get all the information you want to see.
Spectacular. We're going to make sure that this is also going to be in the description here so that you can have that as well. Brian, thank you so much. And you are a blessing and an absolute treasure to all of us. And I look forward to doing this again. And ladies and gentlemen, as you know, I always say that life is exactly what you dare to make it. And fortune favors the bold. And so the trick to life is to always boldly step up and dare to make your life magnificent. Boldly doesn't always have to be aggressive. Boldness means to do something as bold as pick up a book or apply something that you've learned somewhere else. So along with my dear, dear guest, Brian Proctor, I'm Joseph McClendon III. And remember, go further faster and I'll see you at the top.
This podcast was a production of Angel Phoenix Productions. Explore more episodes of this show or other great shows on the Angel Phoenix Podcast Network by visiting angelphoenix.com. The views expressed in this show do not necessarily represent those of Angel Phoenix Productions or its advertisers and may contain language that's unsuitable for younger listeners.